Hi, I'm Rivka Fidel, and I will be presenting on the context-dependent effect of biochar on soil greenhouse gas emissions. So this experiment is part of a broader suite of experiments in which we investigated the effect of biochar on greenhouse gas emissions. Previously, we looked at the effect of different biochar properties on greenhouse gas emissions and the effect of different soil properties on greenhouse gas emissions, comparing different soils. So for this experiment, we're going to look at the effect of soil moisture and temperature in the lab, as well as look at the effect of biochar on soil greenhouse gas emissions in the field. So we hypothesized that biochar's impact on carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide emissions will depend on soil moisture, temperature, and cropping system. And we also hypothesized that biochar suppression of nitrous oxide emissions will be greater in cropping systems with higher average nitrous oxide emissions, and biochar amendment will have a similar effect on emissions at the laboratory and field scales. So for our incubation study, we used three different moistures and three different temperatures, 10 degrees Celsius, 20 degrees Celsius, and 30 degrees Celsius, shown in blue, green, and orange, and 27, 31, and 35% moisture, shown with different shapes and increasing darkness of those colors. And those moistures were, we checked by using a pressure plate that those moistures had the same pressure with or without the biochar. So biochar did not affect the moisture at the same matrix potential. So, and that was equivalent to negative one bar, negative one third bar, and negative one tenth bar matrix potential. So we found that while biochar did not affect carbon dioxide emissions, emissions did increase with increasing moisture and temperature. And then for nitrous oxide emissions, similarly, we found that biochar did not affect emissions significantly, but emissions did increase again with increasing moisture and increasing temperature. Despite the fact that the biochar effect was not significant, we did notice that at the, let's see if I can get this pointer to work, at the moderate temperature, 20 degrees Celsius, the biochar did decrease emissions at negative one and negative one third bar by about 35 to 55%, which was consistent with our previous findings. So for the field scale experiment, we set up experimental plots at the Armstrong Research Farm in southwest Iowa, and at that site we established four different cropping systems: continuous corn, switchgrass, a low diversity grass mix, and a high diversity grass and forb mix. And we tilled in half of each plot with 9.3 megagrams per hectare of biochar. So to give you an idea how we measured the greenhouse gas emissions, we installed two gas collection pans, static chambers, in each split plot, so four pans per plot, and then we would go around and cover those pans and collect samples at regular, gas samples at regular intervals. The continuous corn plots were fertilized with 224 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and the switchgrass and low diversity plots received 50 kilograms per hectare. Those gas samples were collected on 15 different dates during the growing season. And we also concurrently measured soil moisture, and we found that biochar did significantly increase soil moisture, and most of those significant differences occurred on the drier days in the middle of the growing season in July. So we found that a cropping system, but not biochar, affected greenhouse gas emissions in the field. The highest emissions came from the switchgrass, cropping system, followed by the low diversity cropping system, then the high diversity, and the continuous corn had the lowest carbon dioxide emissions. Nitrous oxide emissions, however, were affected by both biochar and cropping system. The continuous corn, because it received the most fertilizer, most likely had the highest nitrous oxide emissions, followed by switchgrass, low diversity grass mix, and high diversity mix. And the reduction in nitrous oxide emissions only occurred in the continuous corn system, which supported their second hypothesis that emission reductions would be greater when average emissions were higher. So to give you an idea of how this compares with our other studies, in one of our previous incubations, we saw a 50% decrease. Oh, that's not showing up. We saw a 50% decrease approximately here with biochar amendment at 20 degrees Celsius and 31% moisture, but it just, this is the current experiment. And in the previous incubation, we saw that biochar decreased nitrous oxide emissions by 31 to 38%. So in this one, it decreased it by 50%, and the previous ones decreased by a smaller amount. This is the same mixed wood gasification biochar that we used in the field. And this is the current experiment in the field with that 26% reduction we saw. And in the incubation, we also measured soil nitrate at the end of the experiment, and we found that that was decreased, so we thought that might be an explaining factor that biochar reduced nitrate availability and thereby reduced the amount of nitrate available for denitrification. So to conclude, in the lab, carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide emissions increased with increasing moisture and temperature, but were not affected by biochar. In the field, cropping system affected emissions, and biochar specifically suppressed nitrous oxide emissions by 27% from the continuous corn systems, which is actually highly consistent with literature average reported by Cayuela et al. For field experiments. And this occurred despite increased moisture. And the comparison between the lab versus the field results suggests that differences may have arisen from study design differences or type 2 statistical error. And we can infer from this that biochar can be very effective nitrous oxide mitigation tool when used in appropriate contexts. However, multiple mechanisms are likely in play, and more research is needed regarding what mechanisms dominate when. I'd like to acknowledge all of my colleagues and funding sources and open it up for any questions.
Can you speculate what those mechanisms might be?
Based on our previous experiments and the literature, there's some competing mechanisms. In one study, we actually saw that when biochar greatly increases moisture and there's a lot of leaching going on, the retention of water and nitrogen can actually increase emissions. And then mechanisms that decrease nitrous oxide emissions could include the increase in pH that was previously mentioned by the previous speaker. And this can also augment other mechanisms, including the inhibition by microbially toxic substances in biochar, such as ethylene, and then you could also have sorption of nitrate or ammonium or dissolved organic carbon to biochar, and in case that wasn't enough, there's also the potential that biochar alters the redox environment of the denitrifying microbes or nitrifying microbes, which can also produce nitrous oxide emissions, by changing the pore size distribution or the electrical conductivity of the organic matter, because biochar is known to be an electrical conductor.
You did a beautiful job of summarizing some of the things that we have to do.
Thank you.
With this much reduction in N2O emissions, do you think that you can justify using biochar in the soy applications?
So nitrous oxide emissions, right now, like, we don't have a national price on carbon, but if you were to institute a carbon tax or carbon fee and dividend or something like that, you could save a good amount of money per acre. I'm not sure what, you know, what the current price would be, but you could save money. And also, nitrous oxide emissions represents a loss of nitrogen. So if you have very high loss of nitrous oxide, which usually isn't the case, but if it was, you could increase the nitrogen use efficiency.
What is the current market price of biochar these days? That's a
really good question. Biochar is a very nascent, very new industry, and currently you can buy it by the bag for, you know, $10 to $20 for 5 pounds or something for your garden, but it's a lot harder to find per ton. So, you know, we're looking at order of magnitude differences, $100 to $1,000 per ton, unless you have a friend who owns the pyrolyzer, or if you make your own, it's very, very inexpensive. So we haven't done deep soil sampling at these sites, but deep is relative. At one of the sites, we had 45 centimeters, and we did see some changes in nitrate, but I don't think it was big enough to explain what we saw here, and that was a different field site. But again, different field site, soil, but we did the column experiment I was referring to, where biochar increased emissions by decreasing nitrogen leaching. The effect of leaching wasn't significant, but the amount of nitrate leached was negatively correlated with nitrous oxide emissions, implying that biochar did facilitate sorption of nitrate.
Technically, we do have one more. All right.